We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
If the
Bucks do win it all, Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch, one of your hosts. I am joined, as always, by the wonderful yet old Rohan Kadi. Rohan, happy belated birthday. I didn't out you on Twitter. I thought about it. I almost did. I noticed it. One, it's not on your profile. Nobody else said anything. Kept it private. But now I will out you now that the day is past. Happy belated birthday. How's it going, my friend?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm just going to get roasted if I talk about anything about being old, so I'm just going to stop.
That's a good call. We have a lot of listeners in their 30s and olders. They don't want to hear it from you how old it is being 19, Rohan.
Okay. Relax. But no, thank you. I'll stop and say thank you. Doing well. It's the sort of the lulls of the NBA offseason at this point. The entire world is still waiting for a Kevin Durant trade.
What are you talking about? The entire world is waiting for a Jordan Wara trade, Rohan.
That's true. That's
I don't
true.
Know what Jordan world Moore. You're... the only world I care about is Wara world right now. People talk about the slow part of the NBA season. We got jerseys. We got Wara watch. I couldn't be more excited. This is...
Hey, Ty, where could people find some options on Jordan Wara's situation right now?
That's a great question. The previous podcast on this feed entitled The Curious Case of Jordan Wara, or the GSPN Substack, which you can find by going to gspn.info and clicking the Substack button. Great question, Rohan.
Yeah, make sure you check that out. And make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this so you don't miss anything. Any episodes, any Substack drops, anything like that, check out gspn.info for all our links. But yeah, Ty, you mentioned there's been some jersey news. That's like the one bit of tangible Bucks news that we got recently.
Yep.
And that the Bucks have released their new statement edition jerseys for the upcoming season. These essentially are last season's earned edition uniforms, which were the green with the cream antler trim. But in black and with the Jordan logo.
And blue trim.
Yes.
So I like
blue trim alongside, like it's still cream antlers, cream, like actual trim, but above like the arm and neck trim, there is like a blue, like a small blue trim.
I like the minimalist use of blue. I like blue as an accent color better than as a main jersey color for the Milwaukee Bucks. Although, Adam will turn off the pod at this point. I think they forced it long enough that blue is a Bucks color now. It's been years that they've been forcing this blue upon us. At a certain point, I think we just have to give in and say, okay, blue is now a Bucks color for this era. Red, unfortunately, is not.
I mean, okay, here's my thing. Every color can be a Bucks color if the Bucks do it. It's not like when the world originated, there were set colors for a team. You know, I mean,
there's something to be said for historical precedent, but there's also something to be said for creating a new. I know.
But at the time in which the historical precedent was set, they just set colors.
I know.
Didn't they?
Well, yeah, of course. It wasn't.
Of course, that's how this
they
works.
They didn't find plates by a tree and say it was the word. Never mind.
But yeah, that's how this works. You just add colors and they become team colors because the team has the colors.
Yeah, but the thing is, they did it 50 years ago. And, you know, you're kind of throwing out a lot of those years. But I still think my take is they got rid of red. It was an overreaction to the state the team was in when the new ownership group bought it. And obviously we know those Christmas-ass early 2010s jerseys and late 2000s, they were terrible. I mean, we don't have to act like they were good. I don't think they were so bad. We should have killed red forever. But it seems like the ownership and Bucks branding specialists, Pat Condon, I don't know who does it, but they disagree and they think
Condon Content Studios?
Condon Content Studios maybe is the one making the call there. Who knows? But blue is here. And I will say, to bring it back a little bit, and I think we can just agree, we're not even disagreeing that much anymore. I'm okay with blue now. I still don't love it, but it's clearly here and I don't hate it. It looks good on this jersey. I don't like the solid blue jerseys they do. I think this is good. I thought the Cream City cream and blue jersey was the best use of blue. Until this might be better. Although, I really like these. I do think last year's urns were better. I think green and cream is just better than... Is it black and cream or black and white? Because it looks like in the picture, it's black and cream.
But I believe it is.
On the video, it looked more like black and white, and I almost think that looked better with the blue, even if that's really not. I mean, the cream is a great color. I don't know if cream and black is the best.
I think that was just the
lighting.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you just look at the actual gallery, it is cream. It looks exactly the same as the earned edition from last year. I will agree with you that... these are very good jerseys. I like them a lot. I think the majority of people like them. I think the one person who I've seen that doesn't is Adam.
I don't know if Jordan does. Jordan's probably torn.
Classic.
Yeah. The brand. But the brand is Brolic.
The brand is strong. But these are good. I like these. The antler design is good. It was good last year. We should probably mention up front, they have to change these because Nike mandates that they have to change jerseys every year.
It's literally the worst NBA policy. The NBA does a lot of dumb stuff. This is the worst thing that they do.
And it's all, okay, not all, but a lot of it is clothing related. The ninja headbands.
Yeah.
You got rid of the Supreme shooting sleeves. And now this.
Yeah, it's too much. So I'm kind of glad they're just like recycling the good bits of previous jerseys. We will get two more jersey drops before the season starts. I know one has been heavily leaked to be the purple jersey. And I really hope that, like this one, we don't have the full info from the leak that we've seen so far. Because I'll just say it. The purple jersey that they're looking to bring back, according to the leak, is boring.
Yeah, it's kind of bland.
It's just like the purple jersey, just purple with a number and the logo that they used to have. I don't remember. It was like the 90s or early 2000s. It's fine. It's not bad. But I feel like a throwback jersey, I don't know, it should have a little more life. I still want the deer heads. We've never had a deer head on the team when we've had Giannis and Chris. The last one was a Brandon Jennings year, which is just sad.
Yeah, they really need to bring those back. I think they do like anniversary editions if you're on a team anniversary or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. So maybe, again, it's the stupid Nike rules.
Yeah.
But these jerseys, I like them a lot. The rest of the NBA community seems to really like them too. I know like people like Isaiah Thomas was weighing in, Jordan Poole weighed in. People like them.
Yeah, they're good. What do you think will sell better, this or the purple ones?
Probably this, based on what really? The purple looks like.
Well, but the nostalgia for any purple is so strong, though.
That's true.
I don't know. I think it'll probably be the purples, even if these are probably going to be better jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right.
I think people are clamoring, and they're just going to... Maybe that's why they'll do the boring ones first. Those will sell. Then they can do the deer heads. Those will really sell.
Yeah. But yeah, the statement edition unis. Do you like the Jumpman logo? I kind of prefer the just the normal swoosh.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't know.
I'd prefer. I don't know. Like, I like Jordan Brand's awesome. I prefer the classic Nike swoosh.
Do we know why? Was there actually an operational change there, or is it just like
I think their statement editions, like the Bucks have made their statement editions Jordan Brand.
Oh, it's so weird. Like, who cares?
It's all Nike.
It's clearly
anyway.
All Nike. Yeah, I will say I'm still overall content with the Motorola patch, but why get it in cream, man? It looks white.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you can get Jordan Brand do their thing in cream, I feel like you should be able to strong arm Motorola as well. But who knows? Those phones don't break, so maybe they don't stand down.
Rumor has it they're still using razors over there, so that's why maybe they just can't reach them. That's why.
Maybe.
What does Motorola even do nowadays?
They still make phones, I think.
Do they really?
Yeah. People still buy them just to play Snake.
Wow, they do. Are they selling enough product to be a jersey sponsor for two teams?
Listen, man, I am not a business expert. So
let's move on.
the other reported leak does not look good so far. Have you seen this? The blue one with the crazy side panel?
Yeah.
I'll have to see it. It doesn't look good.
Yeah. Again, for most of these, we just have to see them. And
yeah, we have to
also
see them.
See them with players, like on the court.
That's an important point.
Like, was it last year's City Edition where we were down on it? And then it looked better. Like, I was still pretty down on it, but it looked better on the court.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That is my
take.
I think
we did a tier list last year, didn't we? And we ranked those as the worst jerseys.
I think we did.
Yeah. We should do another one where they release all the jerseys.
We should. Yeah, it's a good call. It's hard to find a full list of all. Our tier list might be the best list of all Bucks jerseys out there. It's hard to find a full list. We'll have to update it. But yeah, I don't know. This blue one, the leaked blue one does not look great. Hopefully it's not good info is all I'll say. Okay. I feel like that's enough jersey. Should we move on to the title of the pod, the meat of the episode?
Sure. News is out of the way. Let's get into it.
This is probably, we've done at least five pods on this, I think, this being at least the fifth. Who should the Milwaukee Bucks start at shooting guard? We do this before every season. We do this during every season. It is the one spot on the roster that is not signed, sealed, delivered, or at least the one starting spot, right? We know Drew, Chris, Giannis, Brooke Lopez. We know where Bobby Portis and Pat are going to be. I guess we could do who should be backup point guard. It would be a pretty short pod. I think everyone knows where we're going there. But who should start at shooting guard? So we polled the listeners. We'll get into we asked for reasoning and just who should start out of four options. Grayson Allen, Wes Matthews, Joe Ingles. That's the four options. Somebody sent in a fifth. That confused me. Thanks, Andrew Snyder.
You said three. There's Beauchamp.
Oh, there it is. I confused myself twice. And Marjon Beauchamp. Bo Clamps or Large Marge, depending.
Not
on,
Large Marge.
On where you're at on that. So we got data. We'll go through all the options. Grayson won with 60-some percent, I think, of the vote.
60,
so this was
61.5-ish?
This was, to be clear, we took this tally on our text line. If you'd like to get in, you can text GSPN all together to 31032. Text GSPN 31032. Get texts from us and involved in stuff like this. But Rohan.
Yeah, last week we did a mailbag based on questions that we got on the text line. This week we're taking responses like this. Make sure you get in. Weigh in.
Yeah.
It's fun.
DM us. DM Rohan. But to the two guards, you can take your, I guess, victory lap because I know you're higher on Grayson than most, I think we can say reasonably. And he cleaned up here. One of the Graysons was Grayson, then West by the playoffs. We can get into that distinction, but let's talk Grayson Allen.
So Grayson Allen is like, he's a very divisive figure, I guess, in terms of Milwaukee Bucks right now, considering that he did not have the best series against the Boston, like last time we saw him against the Boston Celtics in the second round of the playoffs. He was the starter. He started 61 games for the Bucks during the regular season last season out of a 66 games he played. And that came all up until like the end of the regular season where Wes Matthews took that starting spot. He was averaging just a shade under 30 minutes per game, 27.3 minutes per game. He's the safest option, in my opinion. He's the safest option for just general Bucks play because he's like, I don't know. He's not like a weak link in any regard. Sure, you can point out defensively he's like a weak link, but that's because the bar is set so high with the rest of the starting lineup that it's kind of say like, oh yeah, Grayson Allen, he's obviously the weak link defensively in that starting lineup when realistically he's probably an average NBA defender. He's a very smart player, very smart defender. Listen, I know he has his lulls. He has struggles finding himself offensively, whether it's being a featured piece, whether it's being a role player. Grayson Allen, he hasn't been able to tread that line in his first season in Milwaukee. His first season in Milwaukee, he had difficulties treading that line. He's been in the system now for a while. He's immersed in what this team needs. He's seen himself be put in situations where he's succeeded, and he's been seen himself in situations in which he has failed. It's put up or shut up time for Grayson Allen. Do you want to be a key piece of a championship contender? Now's your chance to do so. Because, like I said, he's probably the safest option to start. He brings versatility on offense. He brings, like, just your escape valve, your absolute worst option to go to is a dynamic scorer in your starting lineup in Grayson Allen. Like, you would agree with that, right? He's the last option in that starting five that you're comfortable with?
They don't go to Brook very often these days.
But I'm saying, like, would you feel more comfortable giving the ball to Brook Lopez?
Yes.
Okay. So my point stands. He's the last option. That's a pretty damn good last option on offense. Am I wrong?
You want to hear a crazy stat?
Of course.
Brook shot more per game in 4.4 less minutes, like a shot and a half more, which I would not have expected. Brook was shooting when he got healthy, man.
We love it when Brook's shooting, but that's the problem with Grayson Allen, right?
That is the problem.
He just doesn't find enough shots. We saw last season, as the season went on and sort of the coaching staff realized, because they're not idiots, they're smart people, that Grayson was struggling treading that line. Like, we know it, the coaching staff knows it, because they listen to the podcast, obviously. So they tried, like, early on in games, you would notice, oh, they're trying to get Grayson involved early, get him shots early, because they know as the game went on, he'd struggle to find shots in the rhythm of the offense. Is that something that's tenable? Like, can you fix that? That remains to be seen. I would lean yes, because we've seen it happen in the past. Like, if you want to go back to the last dynamic offensive player that the Bucks had at shooting guard, it was Malcolm Brogdon. And he definitely found his ways. He found his driving lanes. He found his opportunities. He found his shots. Why can't Grayson Allen?
Yeah, that's the big question with Grayson Allen, right? I will say I thought I was a little underwhelmed by his playmaking last season. That's one thing that I hope to see a little bit more of. And he had, I think, 3 games in the regular season with 6 assists and then a couple with 4. He ended up averaging, I think, less than 2 per game. In the playoffs, although he did play less, he averaged 1.3 assists per game to Wes Matthews, 1.2, which that to me is tough. Like, I think Grayson Allen should be averaging, even if it's a few less minutes, comfortably more assists than Wes, who just really is not a ball handler for this Bucks offense. Like, he takes it
should
to the
he,
rack.
Should he, though? Because in playoff situations like you were just talking about, do you want, like, Wes Matthews, obviously, when he gets the ball, he's going to want to get rid of it because he's not going to create that much on his own on offense. Don't you want Grayson to be creating more for himself when he gets the ball as a, like, quaternary option?
Well, I don't think he was that in the playoff setting after Chris goes down.
That's fair.
I mean, what he looked, the frustrating thing about Grayson is that when Chris goes down in the regular season, he's like an 18-point-per-game scorer who's doing more playmaking and just looks like, oh, man, the offensive, there's more more here on offense than we're finding in most games, and figuring out how to tap into it just more. It's almost similar to the Jordan Wara issue of like, there's clearly something there, right? Like, we know Jordan Wara has plus scoring, but he can't tap into it in 16 minutes a game out there alongside number one options. He can tap into it if no one's playing and he's taking 20 shots, he'll score 20 points and you'll lose by a lot. And it's not that helpful. Grayson, it's not that distinct of a thing, but there is a little bit of like, it's finding his role. And I think another year in the system should help. You know, I'm not expecting him to have 5 assists per game, but less than 2, I was a little disappointed just because he does handle the ball pretty well. And you just figure a guy who's, you know, able to drive and the threat of shooting opens up more for you to drive usually would be able to find at least 2 assists per game. Maybe that's just unrealistic from my perspective. I don't know. But
and to be fair, we saw that in the playoffs last year. It was just against the Bulls.
Yeah.
Like we saw that version of Grayson Allen that we saw during the regular season when he was made to be like a featured offensive piece. We saw that he demolished the Bulls.
Yeah.
It's just like maybe like I think I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think the Celtics matchup was just a bad matchup for him. Like they're just a tough physical team that's just gonna shove you, bump you, do whatever they want.
Even against the Bulls, though, it wasn't the role that I had hoped. It was closer to Forbes. You know what his high in any Bulls game was for assists, Grayson Allen?
I'd assume like 3.
1.
1, wow.
0-1-0-0-1-1. Or it's just 1-1. There's only 5 games. But yeah.
Okay, wow.
Against the Celtics, surprisingly, he had 4 in one game, 5 in another game. I think one of those, actually, it was 2 close wins. Those were the 2 close wins against the Celtics, the last 2 wins, were the only times he had more than 1 assist in the playoffs. I think the Bucks needed that from him with Chris out, and it just wasn't consistently there. And that is, like, I do think that if he's going to start, I agree, he probably starts to start the regular season. Like, I think Wes, you want to save it. Maybe he starts by the end of the season. We'll cover Wes and Ingles more, who obviously he's not a day one option. He's injured, and Beauchamp we'll get to as well. But I think Wes, I want to see more consistent playmaking because the flashes are there, and I would rather see, you know, I don't need him to go off for 25, like every 10 games or whatever it is. I would rather see him consistently dishing 2 or 3 assists, and because we know he can playmake. And I think that's almost more helpful to the Bucks and keeps him on the floor a little longer than just being like a guy who can shoot and make a bunch of shots. Because I just feel like we've seen those guys with some defensive limitations just not be as useful in tough playoff series.
Yeah, that's fair. But also one thing we need to take into account here is that the Bucks' big three are also like they're all very, very good playmakers.
They are.
And they're handling the ball a lot, like a lot. Like I almost feel like we're expecting too much at this point, because like Drew's been last season was a near 7 assist guy. Giannis was like a 6 assist guy. Chris was almost a 5.5 assist guy per game. Like that's a lot. I think they were the only trio like to average double digit scoring and more than 5 assists a game. Like that's a lot of playmaking.
Counterpoint. Dante was 3.1 assists per game, starting with those three guys.
He had to pass the ball. What was he going to do, shoot?
He scored about as much as Grayson did on more shots per game.
Exactly, more shots per game. They're not going in.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a shot more per game and almost as much. But it's like double the assist, though. I would just like to see a little more. It's not that you need to run the ball through Grayson Allen. It's more like I just think on secondary play, it's just like the ball. And again, this is like more than just a him issue. The ball just doesn't find him that often. A lot of the time it feels like, I think that's where you almost get like, not like he's not invested in the game, but I just think it's harder to maintain the same flow of offense if you're not involved for multiple possessions.
I think he probably needs to move more on offense.
I agree.
And it's not a him finding thing. I think the reason the ball doesn't find him a lot is because defenders aren't going to help often.
Yeah.
Because they respect that he's a very good shooter.
Yeah, he's got to cut. He's got to go around screens. Like, if he's in the corner, there's just going to be a guy in the corner, which is still helpful. Yeah. But
he can't accept that, oh yeah, I'm just guarding.
Yeah.
Like, sure, that's good. They respect you. You have to make them get off you.
You got to show them that Duncan Robinson tape of him running around the same screen like 19 times or whatever that went viral. You remember this?
Yeah, I do. That, I mean, it's like a courtside cam.
Yeah, that kind of, I mean, that maybe not that extreme. He'll probably pass out halfway through game one. Duncan Robinson clearly is like running through underwater with a boulder like Kyle Korver did or something. That's some impressive
stamina. Jalen Brown's currently doing.
The boulder Jalen Brown is carrying is the Celtics org, it seems like. But he needs to be more involved. And it sounds funny because it's like, do we expect him to take 15 shots a game? No. But just as that tertiary option, even if he's not shooting or creating an assist, I would like to see the ball touch him more.
It's not even tertiary.
Exactly.
It's let's say fourth option. Let's say quaternary.
Yeah, quaternary. I thought tertiary is any non-primary. No?
No.
It means third? Really?
Yeah.
I might challenge you on that.
Am I being dumb?
I feel like tertiary is any non-primary.
Third in order or level.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair. You got me. I'll take the L.
You made me doubt myself for a bit. I was like, wait a second.
Usually I'm good with words. I feel like in a basketball, like that's how a lot of basketball people use it, which apparently is incorrect.
Oh, I've always said it to mean three.
I know, but I think it's generally used to mean not main.
Let us know.
Anyway. I agree Grayson should start and, you know, hopefully can unlock more of this stuff. I do think, you know, maybe getting a guy like Ingles, part of it is we can get a talented player for 1 year MLE, so let's do it. Part of it may be further Grayson insurance, I think.
Yeah. Let's look at what the people sent us. So we, in addition to actual like responses for who they should start, ask why. Why do you think they should start? First, again, if you're texting us, sign your name if you want to. Otherwise, we're not going to see it. Who it is.
Yeah.
But this person said, I think the switch from Grayson to West last season was planned all along. Bud saw the benefit of starting a versatile wing defender with PJ in 21. So we wanted to do that last year. West is just too old to start the whole season. So I think the plan is to start Grayson for most of the year, then ramp West up for the playoffs. We got another similar response. Grayson regular season, West playoffs. I think that's probably a different discussion altogether.
I think three of the Grayson votes, which is like nearly half or so, basically included until it's playoff time and then West starts, which I do think is fascinating.
Yeah, I think great. Like a lot of the reason Grayson, I said, is the safest option. He's the youngest.
Yeah,
he has least miles on him, aside from Beauchamp, obviously. But like he has experience. He's younger. You can run him around a lot. That's why he's the safest option.
Yeah, and I think I was inspired.
He's not going to lose games for you.
No, not in the regular season. I was inspired, though. I'll cape for Wes here. It would be maybe call it a token starter, like 20 minutes a game, and maybe Grayson still plays more. But I do think we saw peak Bucks with Wes out there with the other guys. I still think that is, even though he's not as reliable of a shooter or offensive player, certainly as Grayson, I still think that was peak Bucks when Wes was out there. And also, I have an exclusive scoop. Ooh. You know about this.
Oh,
Wes posted a workout video, one of many. Wes lives in the gym. And I replied, as I sometimes do. I just, you know, shoot out a message. I go, best season coming up, couple question marks. Pretty quickly, which I did not expect, Wes replies, expletive yeah, with a couple exclamation points. And honestly, it got me fired up. Sorry to leak our DMs, Wes, my close personal friend, Wes Matthews. But he's fired up. I'm fired up. I wouldn't hate it. I think the people who are saying start Grayson to conserve Wes, that is the correct take. So if Wes does start, I think he's playing 18, 20 minutes a game in the regular season. He's probably the first guy to check out, and then Grayson comes in.
The Thon Maker Memorial start.
I don't know if the Bucks have really had, I guess, PJ. PJ just didn't play that much in the regular season or start, so that's not a good example. They haven't really had someone like this. It might also be Brooke this year, which maybe makes this even trickier. But just like, it's not a memorial start in the sense of like roster. I guess it kind of is. It's like merit based, but also we're not going to have you play 30 minutes. It's
the Thon making memorial fake start.
Yeah, but it's like real. It's real, but he plays more minutes with the starters in the fourth quarter than the first quarter. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Do you just think it's not worth it?
Yeah, just what's the point? Like, he's accepted coming off the bench.
I don't think Wes needs this by any means.
Yeah, and this Bucks team is not an ego-driven team.
No. So,
not at all. Like, especially with the personalities they have.
But do you think merit-based Wes would deserve to start in a vacuum?
No.
Really?
Deserve is a strong word.
I mean, I think after last playoffs, when he was their third best player for a lot of it.
Deserves is a strong
word. Third or fourth.
Yeah. Last, I don't know. He probably does, but I wouldn't go as far as to say it.
If it was a playoff game, which obviously makes no sense, but would you start Wes?
Probably.
I think I would too.
Probably.
I'm not ruling it out from Grayson, but we've seen Wes be that guy in these big games and just be so useful on both sides. And we've seen Grayson do it against the Bulls. But I'm talking like,
which I will say again is postseason basketball.
I know. I didn't say it's not, but it is a different level of postseason. There's Pistons series and there's Celtics series.
That's fair.
Like, there's just. And everyone loved that Bulls team, DeMar for MVP, whatever. We'll see if they're even a playoff team this coming year. I'm not sure if they are with all the issues they have with Lonzo right now.
Does Lonzo know, like, what's going on with him?
He's had, like, it's really, he's had, like, 14 setbacks. Like, it's seriously.
I feel
it's
so bad. Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caruso and Pat Will have to be their whole defense, basically.
Which is.
But tough. They got Tristan Thompson.
They did, and Andre Drummond. No, they let Tristan.
Yeah, my bad. They got, who got Tristan Thompson?
Everyone except Celtics? For Chloe.
Anyway, who cares?
I don't know if he signed anywhere. Surely he did.
It's not Celtics. I think he was previously there, too.
He is a free agent.
Oh. Bucks? No.
No.
No. No. I don't know if there's just that much more to say about Wes. I think we know what we're going to get. Hopefully, I mean, there could be a decline the way he works and the last ball we saw from him. I'm not honestly that worried about it yet.
No, I'm not either. Like, he's a very tough, physical, smart defender. That's going to hold up. Like, even if his foot speed or whatever starts to decline a bit, his strength.
I think it has already, though. I think he's just overcome it.
Yeah, his strength is still there. His intelligence is still there.
Yeah.
Like, that works.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah. I trust him more on offensively than I did before last season, which is funny to say.
It wavers,
but in the biggest games, he was way more useful there than I expect. And it wasn't just hitting shots. Like, he had some nice plays offensively.
Yes, but also the bar is so low.
It is.
That it's like a drive, and you're just like, oh my God.
But that's important stuff.
Go
ahead.
Like, it's if Wes Matthews has one drive in a game, like a successful drive, we're like, oh my God, Wes Matthews. We're the offensive output is insane. And then Grayson Allen has like two, and we're like, what are you doing? It's like it's the flirting versus harassment.
Fair-ish.
I know Wes provides more on defense, which gives him more leeway, but also, like, come on.
I mean, I do think he may have outscored Grayson versus the Celtics.
I wouldn't doubt it just because Grayson shot so poorly.
Yeah, he did. 5.7 versus 5 points per game.
Yeah.
So, I'll rebuke your flirting versus harassment a little bit. He's getting the job done.
I know, but if we're talking like offensive versatility, it is definitely flirting versus harassment.
Maybe.
It is. It's okay, Ty. Wes Matthews responses, we got best option. We got defense is more important with the starters on the floor since they'll take most of the usage on offense. Grayson is more valuable off the bench since then he'll get more shots as opposed to getting only limited touches with the big three out there. Marjan and Jingles got to prove it first.
It's an interesting point, but I almost agree with you that in the regular season, at least, you probably want to see if you can get it working better with Grayson in the big three.
Yeah, because that's ultimately what matters.
Also, he wasn't that good at doing that off the bench in the playoffs either. So
no, he was not. Which, yeah. Again, he performed better when he was like, I don't know. It's a lot of, there's going to be a lot of wait and see, which is, again, I'm excited for year two of Grace.
I am too. I'm really excited to see how our next option pushes him, though. Honestly, I think it's going to be really interesting. Let's talk about Joe Ingles, which I don't think since like initial outrage / reaction, which I wasn't there for the very immediate reaction. We talked about it a little bit more, but I feel like we've really only talked about it from a like team building perspective, like in terms of asset management and stuff. We haven't really talked about the B-ball side of Joe Ingles that much, which is difficult to do considering the injury and the age and everything. But let's just assume probably the best, actually certainly the best ball handler of the four options, right? Like, I think,
yes.
Without saying, like, pick and roll specifically, the shooting is what we'll see, the athleticism, the defense, probably going to be the worst defender. I don't know. People might push back on that. He was solid for most of his career with the Jazz, anchored some really good defensive units over there. Not anchored, Rudy Gobert anchored. But
yeah, I was going to say he did what?
Was part of some really, really strong units in Utah. Probably him and Royce O'Neal were the only two defenders not named Rudy worth a damn after Mike Conley declined, which did not take that long to happen once he became a Jazz man. He was a very good
positional defender. I'm so happy
he
got an All-Star.
Yeah, it's nice.
Because it's down. It's all the way gone.
Yeah, it's not going to happen again, unfortunately. It's just the Ingles thing is very interesting. There's a world where he is a very good fifth starter on this Bucks team. We just don't know what Jingles we're going to get.
We also, yes, to be clear, also, Joe Ingles was not a starter consistently in Utah.
He was full-time for 2 years. Then he was like half-time in the three most recent years.
Yes, so he was a full-time starter 3 seasons ago.
Yeah.
And then as it went on, he started less and less games. Because the Jazz thought it was more valuable to bring him off the bench. And this is, okay, let me be clear first and foremost. This is not me trying to talk down to Joe Ingles, okay? I'm never going to live that down. This is me literally explaining what happened, okay? I'm not trying to say anything bad. But I do think Joe Ingles is probably... I think he's more valuable off the bench.
Yeah, I suppose.
As a rotational, I think he's more valuable as a rotational guy.
Yeah, because you can put the ball in his hands more if he's not out there with all the big three. That's one of the most impressive the last four seasons from most recent 3.5. It was his most down season so far, but then 4.7 and then two seasons over 5 assists per game. He moves the ball. He shot 35% this last year. The year before that, 45%. Then around 39% from three for 2 years. So, like, he's a shooter, which I think that's like the first reaction people had. The playmaking is the interesting thing, and I'm eager to see how it would look with the Bucks and how I still think, given, like, Drew is a point guard, but he's not a prototypical point guard, and I think Chris is a good passer.
He's a combo guard.
And I think Chris is a good passer, but does not have a great handle. Giannis can do everything except shoot, kind of shoot. But I do think playmaking could be a very useful thing for this Bucks team. I think they tried it with DJ Augustine. It turned out he just sucked too much by then, which maybe will happen with Ingles too. But that was like the reason I was so excited about John Wall, right? Is I do think an extra jolt of playmaking could do a lot for this Bucks team. Eager to see how Ingles looks when he does get healthy, hopefully around Christmas time.
Yeah, I mean, yes, every team wants as many playmakers as they can. Like, that's why, look at recent championship level teams, like the Warriors, a lot of their guys are all playmakers.
Yeah.
Like, you have guys like Steph Curry, obviously great playmaker. Draymond Green, great playmaker. Andrew Wiggins can do some playmaking.
Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole, exactly.
He's not shooting everything, yeah.
Yeah. but these are all guys who can create for themselves. Like, you want as many of those guys as you can on the court at the same time. Like, look at the 2019 Raptors, like, 1 through 5, they're all playmakers. Like, Kyle Lowry to Marc Gasol. Like, you get playmakers at every single position.
Loon has been 2 assists per game the last 2 years, regular
season.
He's
so good.
Yeah. 2.2 assists per game for Looney in the playoffs. That's what I'm talking about.
Ridiculously good player.
If Kevon Looney can get 2.2, Grayson, give me 2 assists per game this year. 2. Twice. Please.
That is a fair
point. Come on.
But you want as many playmakers as you can on the court because, like I said, when teams load up against the big three, you want those release valves to be able to keep the offense going. You don't want it to stagnate because that's what the defenders want. That's what allows you to load up against your stars, is because when those last options get the ball in your hands, you want the defenders to be worried about that, right? You want that to be the case.
That for the overall offense, yes. My other thing that I get excited about with the playmaking, it doesn't have to be as hard as it is for Drew, Chris, and Giannis to score. Like, even when they're working with each other, I just feel like the Bucks sometimes, like, with the guys who are out there, and this was especially true the playoff run when it was like PJ, no one cared what PJ did offensively. Had some nice moments, nobody cared. And Brook Lopez, a lot of the time, teams don't care, especially if he's beyond the arc. If he's within the arc, teams care. But if he's outside of the arc, teams are like, whatever, Brook Lopez, good luck. Like, just making it a little bit easier, some of those possessions for, like, getting Drew an advantage look, getting Chris more catch and shoot, which for years he's needed more. And he does okay, but it would make more sense if he had easier shot dot. And Giannis, half a step and it's over.
Oh, yeah. But we should say, these players, the Bucks big three, it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because they're awesome and they're incredible. It's a curse. They love making things difficult for themselves.
Yeah, they do.
Like, Chris is the tough shot express for a reason.
Yeah.
he wants that type of stuff. Drew Holiday, like, he wants to back you down, take slow, methodical ISOs. Giannis is Giannis, but like,
Drew wants to step back too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, like, they want to make it difficult on themselves.
I know.
So, but yes, your point does stand though. Like, you should try to make it easier on them. Like,
you got to fight them to make it easier for them.
You got to help them help themselves.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
But yeah, just Joe Ingles as a playmaker, getting back to the original point, is good. And I think off the bench is probably a better role for him.
Yeah, I got to see it. You know, I really think we don't have that much evidence with this team of what that looks like. Sort of Dante, although I think Ingles is kind of a different playmaker than Dante, a better playmaker than Dante.
That he's a playmaker?
Yeah. And then Augustine just didn't work so hard that it's hard to draw any conclusions there.
Yeah. And DJ Augustine is such a different player.
Yeah.
Than Joe Ingles.
I really thought that was going to work, but he just needed pick and roll so bad, and the Bucks were not giving it to him.
Yeah. He just wanted to spam pick and rolls all day and then just shoot everything.
Dude, he would just go flying toward the baseline. Like, he'd be, like, totally vertical. I'm like, man, you are too old to be playing like this, DJ Augustine. It is January, my guy. Relax.
You can't get bullied on defense if you can't get back because you're on the floor.
He looked like a curling stone just flying down the hardwood. It was crazy. We had a couple Ingles votes. One just said Aussie grit maybe for the reasoning, which, okay. It's there.
Sure. He is a gritty player. Like, I like the quotes and stuff, like, about, like, oh, I may look like a math teacher or whatever, but I'll still, like, bust your butt on the court or whatever, you said.
Him going from one Spurs tree coach to another makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Going
from the bud tree to the butt.
The bud himself.
Yeah.
Going from the bud tree to the pop tree. That's cool. The other Ingles voter, I think it allows Drew to play off ball with Ingles playmaking. And they also voice preferring Grayson off the bench so he can be featured a little bit more. So that's almost two sides of the same coin. You could want Ingles featured more for that reason or Grayson.
For sure. If anything, like, I don't know. I think those two are a little disconnected in terms of Ingles and Grayson, because I do think they play completely different roles.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like, yeah, figuring out what Grayson actually is like the big question.
True two on this roster.
I think Wes is
like a three.
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. I guess.
I think Wes is a three.
I could see Ingles being, I guess if they're, Ingles, you think they're like too a, old
Ingles
and slow.
Ingles is like a 3-4.
I think he's squarely a on this roster, he's a three. There is no four to go around for Joe Jingles.
Oh, for sure.
But like, how much ball handling does Grayson do in the best setup for the Bucks is an interesting question. Maybe it's not as much as I want just because of all their playmakers. But maybe it'd be better if someone did do a little bit more.
For sure.
I want two assists.
Yeah, that's a good target.
Fair. It's just twice. Yeah. Twice per game. Pass to Giannis, he dunks on someone. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to hope they make the shot. Like, again, if it's a Giannis dunk, yeah, that's pretty
How
assuring.
Many assists Actually, could you get I was in 30 watching, minutes with the Bucks?
Would I get?
Yeah.
Zero. Because I wouldn't get
you
the
could
ball.
Get an assist. No, if they tried to help you get assists.
Oh, I think I could maybe get an assist.
I think I could get an assist. I'd get an assist a lot faster than I made a shot.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I pass the ball to Chris, and he just takes the
three. Yeah, I was
going to
say Chris, because he doesn't care who's in front of him. Yeah, I think he'd get a pass. But the thing is,
get some home scorekeeping.
if I have to bring the ball up, it's going to be bad. I'm just going to, like, overhead chuck it, because if anyone presses me, I'm losing that ball.
Oh, I literally would put the ball on the floor, because that'd be less embarrassing.
I would just football pass at the rim and hope Giannis dunks it. That would be
just,
my whole strategy.
I'd punt it into the stands if anyone inbounded me the ball. I'd just kick that ball directly upward.
Put me out there with TA and I'm just going to overhand everything and just be like, just please dunk it. Try your best.
I'll just throw it up near the rim. Hope someone's there.
Exactly.
But yeah, just Grayson, two assists, please.
Two. Just two.
I was watching some Giannis highlights, trying to find
so
that. But I was trying to find that drop step counter, their spin counter for that Shaq video I posted. And there was one play where Grayson throws like a perfect pass to Giannis, just right underneath the basket. And Giannis just bricks the layup and then gets it back and dunks it home. I was like, Grayson must be so upset.
Maybe he could have had two.
Because it's like, that's just a blown assist.
Yeah, those are tough.
But yeah, Joe Ingles, I think, is more valuable off the bench. I'll say that.
I'm just I need to see it. I'm fascinated by what he looks like and who he plays with on this Bucks team.
We just need to see him in general.
I almost wonder if it's going to be like him and Giannis or him and Brooke as like the most fruitful pick and roll pairing.
I think it's him and Giannis, because otherwise it's just too slow on both ends.
The Ingles,
Joe Ingles, Brooke Lopez pick and roll. Like, the defense can do whatever they want because they'll have enough time to
They got
to
start it like 5 feet from the rim. They can't start it out by the arc. It's got to be real close.
You can't run any high screen and rolls with those two.
No, it might take too long. That's a good point. I am eager to see, though, what they do with Ingles, because you would hope it's – I hope it's not – they don't just have him play their typical wing where he, like, orbits around and, you know, the Grayson role from last year.
The Pat Connaughton.
Yeah, yeah. I think he should do a little more. That's his skill set, at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember that Pat pick and roll in the playoffs?
I do.
What if he can do that now? Like, that was beautiful. He actually had a couple in one of those later Celtics games.
I remember just thinking, I think I said this on the postgame pod after whatever game that was, where it's just like, just get anyone in a pick and roll with Giannis, and they're going to get, like, maybe an easy floater or pass it back to Giannis. Like, you just have to be a capable, like, rim finisher, and you can run a pick and roll with Giannis because Giannis just draws so much gravity on his screens. Like, yeah, why not have Pat run more pick and rolls? I want to see a Brook Lopez Giannis inverted pick and roll.
I don't want to see that. I don't.
I want to see it just. No. Okay, I really, can you imagine how fun that would be though?
I think it's a turnover so fast.
They just immediately like weak side help and take the ball from Brook as he turns the corner.
Yeah, it takes him so. Also, Brook Lopez never passes when he's in the post, so I don't think it counts as a pick and roll if he never looks to pass.
I'm imagining this in my head right now, and it's so funny.
2K it up.
Oh, man, I might need to. It's so funny. Oh my goodness.
We did get a Pat vote. Should we cover that quickly before we talk about Marjan?
Yeah.
Pat got more votes than Marjan, so.
He did. No. Sorry, Andrew.
I mean, there's a case. We have talked about it before. There's a case to be made. He might be the best overall player in this group.
I think he is.
Yeah.
The best overall player.
So then there's a case there that, you know, you want your best players. He clearly fits with the starters.
I think he'll finish a lot of games.
I do too. Especially when they go small. I think he's almost certainly going to be out there.
There's just so much chemistry with Pat and the big three.
Yeah.
And Brooke.
I almost wish they would try it for like a month and just like, what if they just rolled more than ever?
Because then there's no continuity off the bench.
Well, you gotta figure that out.
Yeah. But then it's like, it's doing like hockey line changes then.
Not necessarily.
I guess.
It would be interesting.
It would be. But I think it's nice to have someone off the bench who immediately fits with other players.
That's fair, but I don't think that alone is enough for me to go, oh, I don't want to do it then. Like,
I also think Pat has been so successful in his role. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I don't know.
Like, he'll play when it matters.
I want to pull the full season net rating of, it's going to be so small because Brooke barely played, but of that five. Actually, you know what? Let's do 4-man lineups. Let's see how Pat did with the big three this season.
I think it'll be really good.
Yeah.
It should be really good. Like I said, there's so much inbuilt chemistry now. Like, they're on year 5 together.
Well, not with Drew, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Giannis, Chris, and Pat.
Okay. So I've got, I have to do minutes. So those three and Brooke, how is this only two? Oh, it's playoffs. That's why. I don't want playoffs. I was like, how is that two games? I know they weren't healthy, but they have more than two games. I want to see like who out of the guys who actually played real minutes was the best with those three. And I'm not including Brooke just because he didn't play enough. Bobby plus 12, but about 13. Grayson 8.5. Pat 11.2. So a little worse than Bobby.
I think that's fair.
Wes Matthews plus 19.6 net rating. They ate when Wes played with the big three.
He's good. He's good, man.
And of course, plus minus darling, George Hill in 32 minutes, plus 48 net rating with the big three.
I saw you tweeting about this. The George Hill redemption arc could be sweet this season.
I think it probably will be, honestly.
Like, he was hurt last season.
Pretty badly.
Yeah. Like, he had a neck injury. He had a back injury that was also a leg injury that was also a neck injury. Shout out to the Bucks communications.
Maybe it was all of them, dude. How torn up he was. And that's still the biggest concern is, A, can he get healthy? And B, can he stay healthy next season? But he's still going to be – I mean, this was – we talked about it. He didn't shoot well at all in the regular season. Those numbers are not buoyed by, like, Hill splashing threes and then not making them in the playoffs. He didn't splash threes at any point. It was his worst shooting season in years. He still was that positive because of his defense and his playmaking.
Yeah. I think all of us just – we want to see Javon out there as well. Like, you could run George Hill and Javon at the same time. Like, you can integrate both because they can have different roles. It'll be interesting, to say the least. But there's one guy we haven't gotten to who was an option.
Marjon Beauchamp.
Marjon Beauchamp. Here's the thing. This is Mike Budenholzer.
I don't think that's a case. Well, I don't think he'll start. We talked about this on the Chris Out pod, and I thought we'd see more votes for him after we talked about it made sense for him starting. But I realized we basically said it makes sense him starting for Chris, not instead of Grayson or Wes. And I think probably the people who would vote him because of defense just went for Wes because Wes is more proven and reliable and everything else. So I think it does make sense he didn't get any votes. I don't think he'll take Grayson's job. I'm really intrigued to see what he looks like when he plays, though, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously the Bucks do as well because they want to develop their latest first-round pick. We know with the Bucks, those are few and far between.
Yeah.
The last time they did have a first-round pick, they wanted to integrate that guy immediately.
Yep.
We might see that again. Well, I'm obviously referring to Dante now. Like, we might see Marjon in that same sort of role. You want to get him acclimated immediately because you want him to be able to make an impact on this team in the time that he's on the team. Like, that's obviously the point, right? Like, you want to get him integrated. You want to get him experience, especially like we talked about Wes Matthews. You want to save him.
Yeah.
If you're playing him less minutes, play a young guy. See what you got. You're going to win a lot of regular season games anyway because you have Giannis, Chris, Drew. Like, you're going to win a lot of games. If you throw Beauchamp into the mix, it's not like he's going to – actually, he might. Like, we don't know. We literally don't know anything about how this guy plays at the NBA level because we haven't seen anything.
Right.
Is he going to lose you games? Maybe. But you can't know that unless you try it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think I will say – just because it's so much conjecture right now, I don't want to dive too much into what he'd look like. It would be the most exciting of all of these options if he earned the starting spot, for sure.
Oh, my goodness,
like,
yes.
Either early in the season, by midseason, out of camp. Like, it would be shocking if he, again, not if he starts next to Grayson, if Chris misses a couple of games, that would not shock me. I think that just makes sense. As a, let's see what he can do, and whatever. We can start Pat, we can start Bobby. We know what that looks like. Let's get Marjon out here. But if he starts, like, with Chris at the two, then clearly he has really impressed a lot of the Bucks brass, all of them, basically. And that is like, okay, what are we dealing with here? Like, I don't even want to get too far into it because I also don't expect it to happen. Again, at the two, ahead of Grayson, Wes, Ingles, etc. But, man, I would be super hype if he does earn this spot at any point in year one.
It'd be incredible. It would be like, because you said you have to win over the Bucks brass. Not just that, you have to win over Bud. Yeah. You have to win over your teammates.
I count Bud as Bucks brass at this point.
Yeah, that's right.
He's there. Like, he is instrumental.
You have to win over Giannis, Chris, Drew. Like, you have to win over everyone.
Yeah.
To be that guy. That's why, like, it would be super, super, super impressive.
Let's not even talk about it too much because that's too strong of a hype train.
Yes, but like what he could potentially bring, obviously, defense, theoretically. Yeah. We need to see if it translates.
I think that's what I probably trust the most.
Yeah, that's fair. We want to see what his offensive game is. We want to see how capable it is at the NBA level, like against NBA defenders. What's his handle look like? What's his jumper look like? We need to see all of these things. But also his athleticism could be really, really fun.
Yeah.
Like, just as a slasher.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about Grayson moving, like, this Bucks team desperately needs a slasher. If Beauchamp can be that, that'd be incredible.
I do think that is his path probably toward usurping a Grayson Allen is, can I provide, we'll even just say like solid plus defense. Not Wes Matthews, but you know, he's a good positional defender. If he's that year one and he just fits right away moving off ball while making corner threes. I don't even need to see playmaking, I think. But like how quickly does he fit moving around the core four? And if he picks it up really fast, I think that is what could probably accelerate his minutes and role. We did see him work out of the dunker spot a little bit in summer league. He played like more than a Bucks, I won't say tertiary, alternative option more than anyone has ever played in summer league. He shot corner threes. Like he did a little bit of pick and roll. He was in the dunker spot. He defended soundly. Like it was a very Bucksy summer league performance. Obviously doesn't mean that much because it is summer league, but I think just learning to play that way is going to be big for him.
For sure. For sure. Just super excited to see what he can do. I'm obviously very high on him as a prospect.
Yeah. I'm there now too.
I think a lot of people are now too. This has a chance to be, I've been very strong on two takes this summer. This has a chance, like, I don't know. Hopefully at least one of them works out.
What's the other? Anti-Ingles?
Yeah, I was opposed to the Ingles thing. I've had two very strong reactions.
Yeah. This summer.
We'll see how it plays out.
We don't have to relitigate the whole thing. If it doesn't work, I think I'll just kind of shrug and go, okay. The Ingles thing.
Yeah, like it's unfortunate.
Yeah. It was a really weird free agency, honestly.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just glad they retained everyone, because I think their players were better than the vast majority of players who were actually obtainable at their price point and on the market.
That's fair. That's very fair. But yeah, Beauchamp would be fun. A lot of fun. I'm excited for basketball.
I know. When is preseason? Is October?
Yeah, but we got
October.
We got like about a month till Eurobasket.
Eurobasket, yep. And we are Eugene is writing an article. Eurostep assistant producer, Eugene Hortsutglu. Hope that was close, Eugene. I'm sorry, it's been a while. I haven't been practicing. But also, I said we got to get Eugene back on the pod when this article goes up. We can break down the Greek national team with may include all four Antetokounmpos.
Yeah. Also, there's news we didn't talk about, Ty.
What's that? Alex. The Wisconsin Herd obtained the rights to Alex Antetokounmpo and a second round G League draft pick. I saw some confusion about this. It's not an NBA pick. You can't do that. It's a G League second round pick and for Jalen Lecque, who was an interesting, flashy two guard, can really dunk.
He's good
handle. Yeah. Pretty solid defender. But I think getting a draft pick and to look at Alex, who just really didn't play that much with the 905, it's gonna be really intriguing.
Yeah, for sure. Plus Nedetta Kupo.
Yeah.
Yes, give us more.
I don't know how you feel about this. He should come over. He was good in the G League the last time he played. I would sign all of them to roster spots if Giannis wanted the Bucks to.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I don't care 100%. At all. Like,
yeah.
If you're keeping number one on the roster and in the whole NBA, also, pretty neat, consensus number one player in the league. Wherever you look at top, it's always Giannis. Chris and Drew are probably lower than I would like them, but Giannis is consensus number one. Super cool. But when you can keep that guy happy at the cost of spots 13, 14, 15, sure, I don't care at all. Oh, we lost out on developing Jalen Lecque to keep Giannis happy. No offense to you, Jalen Lecque. I'm okay with it. Don't care at all. Again,
it's
sorry.
It's also just fun.
It's Giannis. Yeah, it's super fun. I think it's a good trade regardless. I think getting a look at a flyer, get a draft pick. You know, they're going to bring in more players anyway. I think they'll be fine on the Herd level. Keeping Giannis happy, bro, I would trade so many players. So many players. And it's like, I've seen people, not many, I will say, I think most fan reaction, and I went and looked. I looked on Twitter. I even looked on Facebook groups just to see what people were saying. I know. I was really curious because I do think there is a small vocal subset. Oh, my God. They're signing the whole team over. So many demands from Giannis. First, I would demand more if I was as good as Giannis. My brothers would be on max contracts, dude. And it would still be worth it, I think. Two, he hasn't asked for that much. Three, again, it's so worth it. And most people are like, yeah, whatever. It's a G League contract for his brother. If it keeps Giannis happy, I don't care at all. And maybe Alex will be good. He could be good. Who knows?
And four, we don't even know if he asked for it. The Bucks might have just done it.
Yeah.
Like preemptively.
Giannis doesn't have to ask. It's a good point.
Yeah, we have no idea if Giannis asked for this.
Yeah. It's good to point out. You're right.
Yeah.
We know why it was done regardless. And it was worth it no matter what went into the decision.
Absolutely.
That's what matters. Plus,
we get you're obviously going to be at more Herd games than I am, but get more Antetokounmpo talk.
It was fun talking to Alex last year when he was with the Raptors. So looking forward to do that again.
That was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Sir Giannis just didn't give me a cookie.
Imagine we get Kostas too. TA comes down, gets a sign. We get three of them starting together.
Oh my goodness.
I would be all the way here. Maybe Giannis will play with the Herd for a game.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I think John Horst would I don't know what he'd do. I don't think they would be cool with that. Maybe.
It'd be fun.
It would be fun. They'd probably let him play 2 minutes.
Like have Giannis say he has a knee injury, which he
rehab always does. Start. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just assign him down.
I will say I'm excited for Eurobasket too. Now that they have a new coach who it seems like is more on board with, I'm saying this for the Bucks. I understand Greece is a whole country with worse basketball options than the Bucks in a lot of ways. Sign the team over to Giannis, man. Just do it. Just accept it. It's worth it. Trust us. It's worth it.
Just have Bud coach the national team.
Well, they are sending over. Who are they sending over?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, the Josh Oppenheimer is. They are sending a Bucks. Bud will be represented in some capacity there.
That's a Giannis guy, though.
Yeah. I mean, so is Bud. But yeah.
No. Like, Oppenheimer was on, kid staff.
Yeah.
And then he came back to Bud staff because of Giannis, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And then he's always the guy that goes to Greece with Giannis. Like, that's Giannis's guy. But I'm saying, just have Bud coach the national.
You could do they could Nick Nurse coaches the Toronto team or the Canada team. Yeah, sorry. He also he does coach the Toronto
team. Yes, he does.
I think it's Toronto, right? Did they not say the T?
I'm not sure how they pronounce it.
I think it's like us in Milwaukee not saying the L. I think it is the same deal. Toronto.
Okay. Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, I think Toronto
We know we have Raptors fans who listen to this.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know, Canadians.
Actually tag us in the tweets this time.
I don't know if that's going to be the same group that's still listening, but
that's fair. that's the second bit of news we had.
Yeah, good call.
Who is the coach of the Greek national team? I don't know this. I should know this.
He's pretty well established. I don't know the name off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Let's see here. Who is their coach? I'm going to butcher his name. I'm not going to try. He's okay. He's coaching in Moscow for 8 years.
If you want more info, you'll have to tune into Eugene's article and podcast appearance, because he can tell us a lot more than Rohan can learn on this Google search.
That's absolutely correct. Thank you.
Let me just get you out of there.
Yeah, thank you for pulling the cord. But no, that's exciting. That's a little more than a month. I think it's 34 days, because I think I saw them post a graphic.
Nice.
About 34. When do we know final roster? Again, I'm Eugene. Is that all we have, though?
I think that is all we've got. We haven't had a new review come in since last time, we get it. I don't think it's that quiet, but it's the off season. But if you want your review read, leave that on Apple or submit it to us via the Discord form at gspn.info.
For sure. We're not actually done yet.
Oh, I was wondering if you had something.
Yeah, I do. I do have a choose your fighter. It's my turn this week. This one is very simple. Two options. And it's very timely because, like you mentioned, it was my birthday yesterday.
Hmm.
And I was texting you about this. I'm a very low-key person. I don't enjoy really celebrating myself.
Yeah.
Uh, So it's like, I don't know. I usually just spend time with families, do something, my family, do something low key with friends. Are you a low key type of person? Or are you a go all out type of person for celebrating?
For like for a birthday?
Yeah.
I used to be more low key. Now I basically my go to is just have some friends over and just do something that I want to do. So like a couple years ago, we did a chili bar because I like chili.
Oh,
and my
okay.
birthday is in January. And I'm like, you people need to listen. This is my day, my one day. I want to eat chili and have some beers and play some card games. So I'd say pretty low key, but I'm very demanding with pretty reasonable requests, I think.
That's fair. I'm not a demand. Like, I'm never like, oh, it's my birthday, we should do
this.
Wait
till you get old. I think it gets easier to be. I know you're already. Yeah.
Not as young as I used to be, Ty.
That is kind of how it works always.
Yep.
Unless you're Benjamin Button.
Yeah, the passage of time affects me as well. I think I said that in a reply to Justin. Shout out, Justin. But I guess that was a pretty simple choose your fighter. I feel like more people are go all out sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've always been a low key person.
Like, we should Twitter poll this one. I'm interested to see a wider vote because I feel like I just wouldn't know for that many people, right? If you're not really like close or like in someone's circle, I guess you wouldn't have any way of knowing.
Yeah, that's true. Let us know what you think. We'll probably do a Twitter poll. But yeah, I guess we're both low key sort of people. You're more than me, all out than me.
I'm birthdayzilla.
Cool. Nice. Now we're done.
Yeah.
Now we're done. Thank you for listening to this episode of the EOSF here on GSPN as well as the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Check out gspn.info. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this. Tell your friends and family about the show. Tell other people. Spread the good word. Pod Random. And we'll talk to you next time.